This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Tom and Mikey on Joy.
Our next guest this morning is the much-loved and celebrated Australian singer-songwriter, stage actor, as well as TV star, who rose to prominence as the runner-up for the 2004 season of Australian Idol. It can only be, of course, Mr. Anthony Kalia.
Good morning.
Welcome back to Joy.
Stage actor.
Oh,
I love that. I'm the worst actor ever, but I'll take that.
No, I saw Wicked.
Yeah, and how bad
you,
was I?
No, I think you did fantastic. I also saw you in Greece. I'm sure you played Teen Angel in Greece when we were there.
I was on stage for 3 minutes and 56 seconds.
That's a long period. That's a girthy period of time. I'd appreciate that.
Girthy period of time.
Now, look, Anthony, your world has changed since 2004 after the Australian Idol, and then your debut single goes straight to number one. How is that for such a young boy?
I'm still young. How dare you? Can't you tell? Dr. Tass does a great job.
Yeah, but I was looking at you. I actually had to Google your age because looking at the video, I would have thought you were like 16, 17.
No, I'm old. I'm 36 now with a lot of Botox. But
I'm going to get my first one next year. I said when I was 50, I was going to get a bit done.
Oh, see, I did it when I was 29 because there was no way that I was turning 30 with wrinkles.
I want to get it done at 20. I found one this morning and I've
been
talking.
Stop right there. You're not even 20?
No.
I'm 20. I'm 21 this year and I found this
little
wrinkle.
You can leave.
So I had to take a photo with him and he's bitching about some pretend invisible wrinkle. It's and I had to say, could you just shut up, mate? I'm 50 and just take the shit.
Do you have Facetune? Do you have Facetune?
I need to get it.
Facetune's the best.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm constantly rubbing my screen to like rub out the wrinkles.
And it works well. Like it's good to go. I can get rid of this little bad boy in my noggin.
Oh, please. You don't even have one. Anyway, what was the question?
I still want to know about this face removing cream, but that's all right. So, you know, 2004, yes. You go and win Idol. I want to know, little Clear. You know, were you sporty? You know, was that your dream? You know, how did you end up there?
I was so not sporty. To be honest, I started when I was... My parents had a, like, restaurant hotel. So I was working there for a bit before I did Idol. And then I had 36 private singing students. I was gigging 3 nights a week. I was recording. I actually had a development deal with a producer in Melbourne called Ashley Cadell. And I was working with Mark Holden back then as well. So when I had to audition, I had to pretend that I didn't really know it, but we obviously knew each other because we were working together. Definitely not sporty. I actually did a diploma in business management. Then I started going to uni. And so I lasted 6 months. I was sitting in that uni classroom and I was just like, what on earth am I doing here? Like, it was all about linear equations and supply and demand. And like, I'm like, I'm not the sharpest tool in the shed, but I get it. If someone wants something, you give it to them. You don't need to do a graph on that. Like, it's ridiculous.
Well, 6 months, that's pretty good. I think I lasted about 6 weeks. Because at uni, I got kicked out.
You got kicked out of uni?
Well, it turned out I didn't turn up to chemistry at all. And then they questioned me because, you know, you had to do it. And I said, well, don't open the student bar at 11 o'clock if you want me to come to chemistry. And I thought that was hilarious. That was back in the old days where they were $2 drinks. Because you're not allowed to force feed people. They used to make goon in big giant buckets and you just would get your cup for $2 and you'd scoop it out. Uni was fun back in those days.
You scooped your alcohol?
Correct.
Yeah, God, no, that explains a lot. Yeah. That so explains a lot.
It's good though. I'm on my triple gap year, so I'd say you're doing a very good job. That's what I keep telling my parents anyways. You came from an Italian family, right?
Yes.
I'm the same. And sometimes I found it really hard to tell my mum that I had a girl coming over, and that would be like the end of the world for her. Mm-hmm. So I can't imagine what it'd be like to tell your family, hey, I'm gay.
I'm the eldest child and I'm the eldest grandchild as well. And coming from a very traditional Italian background.
See?
Yeah, I did find it. Yes. va bene. I did find it. Yeah, a little bit hard. And it took me a while to definitely be comfortable in my own skin. You know, I'm very fortunate that I have really supportive parents. But at the time, I don't feel as though that you actually think about that. You just feel as though that there's this massive cloud that you're living with. And, you know, it did take a while for my own self to adjust and be comfortable with myself. And I suppose it's only been in the last a good 5-6 years that I'm totally you know, I suppose comfortable in my own skin. It did take me a little bit of time. And I feel as though, you know, when it all came out in the open, it was after Idol. So, you know, as a kid, I was only 21 when I did Idol. And I was, that was a massive for me, trying to discover myself and then having to do that in the public eye, which added a lot of extra pressure. And, you know, I can't change it now, but, it's, yeah, it was difficult. I'm not saying it wasn't difficult, but I've got great grandparents. I actually went and saw my nonno just yesterday, and you know, it's unfortunate he's got dementia and so forth, but he still remembers me, which is good. But yeah, my grandparents were very supportive as well. And I remember at the time when the news broke, because my grandparents went to church like 3-4 times a week, and they used to bring like the old people in and the disabled people in their street the Eucharist back home, and my nonna used to go and give them like the body of Christ and so forth. And someone went off at her at the church when they found out that I was gay, and my nonna basically gave them a serving. And I'm just like, is such a beautiful thing that, you know, for someone that's so Catholic to still be so open-minded and supportive. So I'm very fortunate and very lucky that I have a supportive family.
Yeah, that's fantastic. I mean, my nonna can't speak English, neither can my nonno, but they support me nonetheless. They give me a pat in the back and I say radio, and they say radio, and they point to it, and then it's,
I love the pat in the back and then the $50 cash in the pocket.
Isn't that the best?
Oh, it's the best.
Easter, Christmas, not even your birthday, like your mid-year birthday, and they'll come, hey, this is for you. They'll give you $100 in a card. I don't even know what I did to
$100? You came from a rich family.
Yeah, I'm going to say, poor old white boy over here got nothing. Let me show you nothing.
It's the Aussie background, I'm telling you. You're missing out.
Look, I want to talk about your first single, The Prayer. Mm-hmm. As a young man, it was a very mature song. Mm-hmm. And for you, I mean, because I hear that song gets played at weddings, funerals. I mean, it's really one of those that gets out there. So what was it that made you pick that song?
I'm very stubborn. And everyone on the show, even the producers and so forth, were actually saying to me, don't sing this song. And everyone was like, we need to see you roughen up. Like, we need a bit of a rock side. Let's not be so polished and so forth. And I'm a person that likes to break the rules a little bit. And everyone backstage, like the executive producer, was actually saying to me the day of and the day before, we don't ever do this because it's against the rules, but we would prefer if you changed your song.
Wow.
And I was like, well, no, I'm not changing my song. And I just went with it. And it was either going to work or it wasn't going to work. And I'm glad that I sang that song. And it's, you know, it created history at the time. And it's still to this day, it is one of the most beautiful songs to sing. And it's a privilege to sing such a piece of music. And I love it. It's funny. I can't go anywhere without someone actually bringing that up. And it's funny when you're in like the toiletry section of Coles when I'm doing like my grocery shopping, and like a little lady like taps me on the shoulder and they're like, oh, I loved it when you sang that song. And I'm like, oh, thank you. And then they go, can you sing it now? I'm like, no, I'm in Coles.
But then what choice do you have? I mean, it went straight to number one, the highest moving number one of the decade. But then in the decade, it becomes the second biggest selling song for Australian artists.
And it's still the fastest selling single ever. So it's, it's pretty cool.
Look, later on, you supported Celine. Mm-hmm. What a trip.
She was the best out of everyone that I've toured with. She was absolutely beautiful. And I was a little bit scared meeting her, because when you get the phone call from the promoter, it was Andrew McManus who actually called me and said, I've got this tour. I'd really love you to open up for Celine Dion. And I was just like, absolutely. But growing up, I loved her and I still love her. And I just went, please don't ruin this for me when I meet you. And she was quite the opposite. She was beautiful. I met her in Sydney at the Sydney first show, and I went into her dressing room, and then I said, oh, my partner Tim's out the front. Would you mind if I bring him in? And she's like, absolutely no problem. And then towards the end of the tour, her late husband, Renee, we're in Perth, and he walked past me. I just walked off stage, and he goes, oh, Celine wants to see you before you go. And I went, I've already seen her today. It's all good. No. She wants to see you. So I went, okay. So they didn't have like proper dressing rooms in Perth. It was like an outdoor festival concert. And so I went and knocked on her trailer door, and her PA opens the door, and then she was sitting there in just her robe, getting her hair and makeup done. She's, you know, final touches. And she stops. There was probably about five people in there. And she stops, and she gets up and does like a full speech. She gave me a handwritten note. She bought me a Cartier clock. And she was just like, thank you so much for being on the tour. And yeah, it was just one of those moments. So that Cartier clock still sits in, like, on my bedroom shelf.
Lovely,
and I've still got the box that she gave it to me. And my in-ears that I use at gigs, that's what I put my in-ears in. Because I take a bit of Celine with me everywhere.
Yeah.
I
but why wouldn't you?
I love that she's a little bit batshit crazy.
You've dealt with a few of them. You've also had Mariah Carey.
Yeah.
Didn't you? How was that?
I don't know. Ask her.
Well, I have heard. It goes through. But I mean, that song, it just keeps moving. You got to sing it for the Queen.
Got to sing it for the Queen.
For the Queen.
God bless the Queen.
I mean, that song has a life of its own. It is taken on.
Well, it's just a beautiful piece of music, and I think the message behind it is really beautiful as well. And it's probably one of the most difficult songs to sing, and I still literally crap myself every time I see it in the set list coming up. And as soon as I sing it, then I just go, okay, it's done. I can move on.
Now, we do want the goss, right?
Here we go.
You've toured with some of the greatest. You've been backstage with the Diana Ross, Mariah Carey, Whitney Houston, the world's best divas.
Mm-hmm.
I want to know the goss. What's the word in the streets? What can you give us? Something spicy, juicy.
Remember, it's Joy in Melbourne. No one listens.
Yes, they do. Of course they do. The goss. Well, there was one diva, I'm not going to mention any names, that I was given a protocol sheet for, and it wasn't the Queen.
It wasn't.
For the Queen, I understand a protocol sheet, and we did get one, which was, you know, pretty stock standard. Don't put your hand out unless she puts her hand out first. Don't go in for the kiss or the hug. Get it. She's the Queen.
Mm-hmm.
But when a certain singer is basically giving out, well, they're people giving out protocol sheets. I literally, it was handed to me.
The whole don't look me in the eye if you see
me. All of that.
Please, was it
Whitney? I ripped it up. No, it wasn't Whitney. I totally ripped it up and threw it in the bin. And there was one, this certain person too, obviously didn't want to sit in a normal car that we have here in Australia. So they had to ship her car over from the States. So she had the car that she felt comfortable in. No, it wasn't?
No.
He's giving me a week later.
No, I was like, anyway, moving on before I get in trouble. Because someone's going to ring up going, don't bag the divas.
No, let's change. Andy, creepy Andy over here, I love
him. Creepy Andy, he's not creepy. He was lovely when he greeted me at the door.
See, I'm new to the show. I didn't know that was his nickname. I've started calling him Creepy Andy because I'm sure he's creepy.
Well, he has been stalking you on your socials, he tells me that you attended the Melbourne Aussie Open, and I went, oh, big deal, sport. But then he tells me, oh, my God, you had lunch with the Queen herself, you know, Dame Anna Wintour.
Anna Wintour.
Please tell me it was everything I dreamed.
Can I be honest? That was a really, really beautiful luncheon. I was very lucky to be invited, and she spoke so well. She was, you know, obviously she created some headlines.
Old Margaret Court.
Which I loved about it. Because she could have come to Australia and played it really PC and just said the right things. And clearly, you know, obviously the Australian Open paid for her to be out here and flew out and all that sort of stuff. So, you know, she could have been very boring and just say the right things. But she didn't. She got up and she said her piece, and I absolutely loved it. It was a really beautiful lunch, and it was great to be in her presence.
But what about the stress of it all? Didn't you go into conniptions when you get the invite? I mean, what the hell do you wear when you're going to meet Anna?
Well, it was 38 degrees that day.
Yeah, it was hot.
And it said business attire. Now, I'm not a person that wears a tie. I hate wearing a tie. And I actually hate getting, like, dressed up formally. I actually went in shorts and a shirt.
Did you?
Yeah. Shorts and a shirt, and I just put on some nice shoes, and that was about it.
Because we'll explain to the young boy over here, Mikey D. So it's not about what Anna wears. It's about what you wear when you meet Anna.
Is it really?
Because you know that bitch is looking you up and down and judging everything you're wearing.
Well, you can't see if she's looking you up and down because she's always wearing sunnies.
But you know that she's definitely,
Well, she's the Queen.
I want to know, you're in these high-pressure situations where you got to look good most of the time, right?
Mm.
My friends make...
Obviously not today. I'm doing Britney Spears double denim.
I love it.
Nothing wrong with double denim. My friends make fun of me. I get my hair cut every 2 weeks. They make fun of me.
I'm every 10 days.
Every 10 days? Oh,
yeah.
I found solace.
I only went yesterday.
Lord. Yeah, same.
Yeah.
You know, I had to look good when I was getting the photos with you because I didn't want you to top my fade too much. So what's your beauty care plan like? What's your maintenance?
Well, there's obviously Botox. had a little bit of filler. Haircut every 10 days.
Yeah.
And you love the gym.
I don't love the gym. I just have to go to the gym because when you get to a certain age and when you're Italian, let's just say the weight does not fall
you don't
off
know our genetics,
whatsoever.
Tom.
And I like to drink and eat a lot. You know, I do have to go to the gym, do Pilates and do a bit of swimming. But yeah, I'm a sucker for a fake tan bottle as well.
Mm.
I used to go. So when I first met Tim, there was, you know, when we first met each other, Tim said to me, he goes, I'm not going to be one of those people in a relationship that tells you what you can and can't do. Like, you know, if you want to drink, you want to smoke, that's all good. But he goes, I do have one request. And I went, okay, what's that? And he goes, can you stop going to the solarium? Because I was going to the solarium constantly. I think I started at 17. I was still in high school.
17?
Yeah. And it's so, so, so bad for you.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, he just said, obviously, he's very pale and he comes from a very, you know, his background's Scottish heritage. So, you know, there's freckles and everything.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I think he's had like about three people in his family with melanomas and like his grandfather died of melanoma. So I just went, that is one request that I totally will respect. So never, well, I did go a couple more times, but I asked him permission because, so I use fake tan all the time, once a week. So with, you know, the haircut every 10 days and a fake tan every 10 days, basically. But when I went, I did that show, I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here, I knew that I was going into the jungle. And I knew that at times that, you know, I'd be seen with a top off and all that sort of stuff. So I just went, okay, I need to feel at least somewhat half good about myself.
Okay.
So I was based in LA for like 2-3 weeks before I left for the jungle. And I said to Tim, I go, can I please go to the solarium at least, you know, 3 or 4 times before I go? I just didn't want to go like pasty white because I knew that the fake tan would like wash off. I'm not going into that. So he allowed me to go in.
So the Italian genetics don't give you the
oh, no, I look like Nicole Kidman. I'm telling you now without the spray tan.
I feel so blessed.
Yes, you should be. You're young and you're tanned. So shut up.
With a single wrinkle that's killing me.
So it never seems to slow down in the Anthony Kalia household. I hear that you're about to take a brand new show concert out onto the road. It's called Unplug and Unflilted.
Look, filtered, not flilted.
Yeah, unplugged and unfiltered. There
we
go.
You figure it out. You two, you just go for it.
I'm telling you, it sounds very butch.
Butch.
Well, unplugged, unfiltered. That's very rock. It sounds.
Well, this time around, it's I've never done a stripped back type of tour, and I've never really incorporated a lot of regional areas, which I'm very excited about doing. Obviously, in Melbourne, I've got the two shows at the Palms, which they're always good to me there at the Palms, and I love performing there. But yeah, this time it's just basically grand piano, guitar, and BVs, and we're going to strip back these songs, you know, from the past 7 albums. And the unfiltered part, though, is basically representing the communication between my mouth and my head, which sometimes do not communicate very well to each other. And I get in trouble all the time. Every time my mum comes to one of my shows, she comes backstage afterwards, she goes, did you really have to say that? Like, and you've got the biggest potty mouth. And I'm like, and she goes, you don't get that from me. And I'm like, oh, you obviously get it from someone. It's clearly dad. But yeah, so that's it. We're just going to have fun. And I'm going to, there's so many stories along the last, you know, 15, 16 years that I want to share. And, you know, not only from music, but from personal life as well. So, you know, there's going to be obviously music, but there's going to be a lot of chat as well.
Which is really exciting. And it's a whole cabaret. I mean, I've seen you at Palms. So what's your favorite? Do you enjoy that whole cabaret scene? You know, being able to have a sing and a talk, or is it the whole big carols by candlelight, getting out on the stage?
Oh, I think both have got, you know, I love both. Like, obviously, walking out onto the carol stage each and every year. I've done it for like 15, 16 years now consecutively. And it's one of the most beautiful feelings still to this day. Like, you get goosebumps.
Awesome.
You just look out at that crowd and you just go, wow. And but then being, I was never that confident speaking. Like, when I first started out, it was just like, I don't want to speak. I just want to sing. And now I've done a whole 360 on that. Like, I would love to stand on stage and just keep chatting.
Yeah.
But yeah, you don't want to hear me chat all day. I've got the worst speaking voice ever. But I do love to have a good chat. And I think obviously coming from an Italian family,
it's all you can do.
That's all we can do.
Yeah. Pass the time. Look, I want to talk about, I ask this to every guest that comes. I'm always so intrigued. And you seem like A little bit of a diva. You go to your high maintenance. I'd love to know what's on your rider when you go to your shows.
Mine's pretty simple. Well, when I'm with the whole band, let me just remember. Sound check, we have focaccias or sandwiches, but with no mustard, because I hate mustard.
Yeah.
And then, obviously, when it's showtime or just before, we have all a main meal each. But then I just have almonds, coconut water, pineapple juice, Coke Zero, and a bottle of red and a bottle of white.
Okay.
So, it's not that...
We just chatted to a guest this the other day, and the guest has a bottle of water and a bit of tea, so it's a bit more extravagant.
See, I bring my own scotch because I find that really like rude if you had to ask the person looking after you to go and buy a scotch. So I've got like a little, what do you call it? Those little,
like a hip flask.
Hip flask. Yeah. I've actually got a little bit of, you know, you always have a bit of scotch in your little man bag.
No, look. You don't. Of course, he's pulling out a bag. Look. He just pulled out a little bit of scotch right now from his bag.
Got the scotch and the cigarettes in there. I'm all good.
Just keeps you.
It's a man after my own heart. Let me tell you that. But
15 years in the biz, something has to get you through.
So what's next for you, Anthony? Like, what's your next big dream? Where would you like to see yourself in 10 years?
Oh, my God. Alive would be handy.
Well, you're looking okay, so I think you'll still be here. You're doing all right.
Yeah. Gone on the
scotch. You know what? I've been lucky to do what I love doing for 15 years, and I haven't had to go and get, like, a proper job. So I'm very lucky in that sense. And I just hope that I can somewhat keep doing what I'm doing for the next 10 years. My favorite part of my job is performing live. Like, I love it. I love, you know, live TV. I love live stage work. And there's just something really, you know, unique about that. And I just want to keep constantly touring and performing live. So if I can continue doing that and potentially... But I have always had it on my bucket list that I wouldn't mind doing a bit of radio.
Oh, yeah. Ooh, well, yeah. Look, I mean, I heard during Tim probably 2 years ago, during Christmas, you came to Joy and filled in for a month.
My only problem with that, I don't like breakfast radio because it's way too early.
Yeah.
So it'd be good if you, like, could record it in the afternoon and they just play it back in the morning.
Well, who's to say? I just go home and have a nap, so I don't care what happens.
Do you?
Yeah, that's not my problem. Yeah. So your concert that's coming up, Unplugged and Unfiltered, live in concert, it is going to start here in Melbourne on Saturday, May the 18th. Then you travel through all these regional centres. You're heading up. You go to Port Macquarie, where I brought my children up all those years ago. We would have come and brought my kids to see you. Like, anyone that comes through Port, we would have went, yay.
I've never been to Port Macquarie. I've got friends in Port Macquarie. Well, their parents live there, so they're all actually coming to the show. But, yeah, we're going to Warrnambool, we're going to Horsham, we're going to Albury. Yeah, there's some places that I've never been to before, which is going to be exciting. I can't wait to hit up, like, their local pubs. I'm gonna work out which area has the best espresso martini. And if they don't know how to do it, I'm going to get behind the bar and actually make it for them, which I've done before.
Which you're going to have to do, let me tell you. I've travelled through all those places, and I used to have to throw my husband behind the bar to teach someone how to do it, yeah. Well, Anthony, it's been such a pleasure having you coming into Joy again today.
Thanks for having me.
We're very excited your concert's coming down. So remember to go on to anthonycalea.com and find all the tickets and dates. Andy will put it on our social, so you can follow the link to there. Hurry up and get your tickets, because I believe they're selling out. Yes.
Yeah, Melbourne's always good to me. Thank you.
Thank you for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
Cheers.
Wake up with Tom and Mikey, Thursdays for breakfast on Joy. Tune in to 94.9 in Melbourne. Stream live at joy.org.au or download the Joy app. Find all our podcasts at tomandmikey.com. Subscribe on iTunes or wherever you get podcasts. Joy Podcasts, where you want them, when you want them.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.